Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
What is it like playing with Kyrie?
You know, he's a great guy, great leader. You just have to adjust to his style. Whatever Kyrie wants done, that's what he's going to show it. That's what he wants done, and you have to adjust to his style of play.
I'm not going to be shocked if Kyrie Irving's back with Boston next year.
Well, I would be
this
shocked.
This is what happened.
Well,
this
I would
is
be
the
shocked.
League.
Pick number 14 will be made by the Boston Celtics. The third pick goes to the New York Knicks.
I'm compelled to say, oh my goodness.
Damn! Damn it! Damn it! Oh, oh, oh! Now New Orleans gets the first damn pick, and now they got both guys! What do the Knicks have? What do the Knicks have?
You snowflake!
Bear Force One is touchdown in North Carolina. Cleared back out again, 2 seconds and one, and the Bruins have taken a 3-0 lead in the series, winning the game by a score of 2-1.
Yes, damn it, we are going to talk about the Bruins.
We'll talk Celtics and emojis.
I got places to go. I got a tee time. Let's go.
Let's get it going. This is Late Night, right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, well, the NBA draft lottery was last night. How did this affect the Celtics? You're welcome to weigh in. 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next hour or so. Okay, so we all know the order by now. The New Orleans Pelicans will have the number one overall selection. Then you have the Memphis Grizzlies with the number two pick. Then you have the Knicks third, and you have the Lakers fourth. So today, on Get Up on ESPN, Sean Farnham, a college basketball analyst, had this to say about the Celtics as it pertains to the lottery.
How about the biggest loser last night, Sean Farnham?
I think the biggest loser was the Celtics, because we came into this lottery saying, okay, look, the Kings pick, if it becomes better than what we expect it to be, now all of a sudden the Celtics are the forefront of the Anthony Davis trade discussion. Now they come up with the last pick overall. Now you've got question marks as far as what's going to happen with Kyrie. Mm-hmm. We had Rozier on the program yesterday. Yeah. Obviously, he made some strong comments about how that organization looked this year. So now all of a sudden, things maybe not as rosy and as plentiful as far as trade value goes for the Boston Celtics.
A year ago at this time, the Celtics looked like they might win the championship and get Anthony Davis. Life comes at you fast.
Really fast.
Okay, I don't know if Sean Farnham can be any dumber. I don't know if there's a dumber person out there right now than Sean Farnham.
College
basketball guy. How can you say that they're the biggest loser of the draft lottery? Just look at from this perspective. The Knicks, they wanted the number one pick. You see their fans last night? They're going nuts. So the Knicks don't have the number one pick. They thought they could get Zion Williamson. And if they did get Zion Williamson, they could trade in a hypothetical Anthony Davis trade, because that would be the best chip on the table, would Zion Williamson be. And now you look at it from the Knicks angle. They don't have anything if they want to trade for Anthony Davis. They have nothing to offer anybody. Kevin Knox sucks. Frank Ntilikina sucks. They have nothing to offer anybody in terms of the Anthony Davis trade, or nothing to offer New Orleans, I should say. How about the fact that the Phoenix Suns were one of the worst three teams in the NBA, and now they have, what, the sixth pick in the lottery? So how are they not bigger losers than the Boston Celtics? Then I look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, again, one of the worst three teams in the NBA, and now they're going to select fifth. So they're building around a point guard in Colin Sexton that doesn't pass, okay? That's what you're building around, and now you're outside of the top three window, because we know this is, from everything we hear, a three-player draft, right? Zion Williamson, of course, going number one, and then you have Ja Morant, and you have R.J. Barrett, Zion Williamson's teammate at Duke, okay? It's a three-player draft, and Sean Farnham is out there on ESPN saying the Celtics are the biggest losers. The Celtics are the biggest losers. What he fails to realize is that Kings pick is not the end-all be-all for the Celtics. Okay, so the Kings pick happens to be 14th. That's not even the best asset that the Celtics have in terms of draft picks. The most appealing thing that the Celtics have at this point is the Memphis Grizzlies pick. Okay, because if you look at the Memphis Grizzlies pick, The good thing for the Celtics, and this is actually a reason they were winners last night, is the Memphis Grizzlies pick did not convey. The Memphis Grizzlies pick is top eight protected, which means the Grizzlies will have the number two overall pick in the draft. They hold on to that pick. Next year for the Celtics, that pick is top six protected. So that's a more appealing piece going forward for hypothetically the New Orleans Pelicans if you're going to try to trade for Anthony Davis, because top six protected is better than top eight protected. And also the fact that you look at it, this was a weak draft. Outside of the top three, this is considered to be a weak NBA draft. So if you were the Celtics, right, if you were the Celtics, you did not want that to convey. You did not want it to convey. And also, you may not want it to convey next year. So the mystery of having that Memphis Grizzlies pick is actually better than the Memphis Grizzlies pick actually conveying. Like, if the Celtics got the ninth pick, that's not great. It's not a deep draft. So what you want is that mystery. So if it conveys next year, or rather if it doesn't convey next year, then you're looking at 2021. That becomes an unprotected pick. So that's much easier for Danny Ainge to sell off as a quality asset than it is if it was the ninth overall selection last year, or this year, I should say. It's better off that it did not convey for Danny Ainge and company. Much, much better. Much better. Okay, now I also look at this. Okay, when I look at it from the Celtics' perspective in terms of if they are still going to be in the Anthony Davis sweepstakes, if you will, nothing about last night to me, and the reason that people are calling the Celtics losers in the draft lottery, which I still don't follow. I don't understand the logic behind that. But if you look at the Celtics in terms of what they can offer Anthony Davis, or what they can offer for Anthony Davis to David Griffin, who's now running the New Orleans Pelicans, it still looks like to me that the Celtics have the most to offer. Okay, so you have Jason Tatum, you have Jaylen Brown, you have this Memphis Grizzlies pick that I was just referring to, and if you want to sweeten the deal, you also have the 14th pick, and I get that you're going to have to match money and all that different type of stuff as well, because the NBA is so weird about trades. You got to match up the money. It's dumb. I don't get it. It makes no sense whatsoever. If you want to take on the money, take on the money. It's dumb that they do it that way. But nonetheless, I also look at this from Anthony Davis's perspective. I don't really care what his father said. I don't really care that his father said that he would not want to sign with Boston long term. I actually look at the Celtics as the biggest selling point for them is they can offer Anthony Davis something that nobody else can. And I understand you're trading for Anthony Davis with David Griffin, who's running the team. You're not trading. You're not recruiting Anthony Davis, if you will. But if you look at it from Anthony Davis's angle, so Anthony Davis right now is one of the top 10 players in the NBA, without question. We know this. But the other part of it with Anthony Davis is this. He's never really been a marketable superstar, right? He's never had that cachet that that's most of the superstars. Yeah, that's New Orleans for you. But he's never really had the cachet, that a lot of other players have. Like, think about it from this angle. This guy's a top 10 player in the league. You could argue a top 5 player in the league. And he's never even had a signature shoe, right? Like, Kyrie Irving, for example, is a much more popular player than is Anthony Davis. And there's no even comparison between the two players. Anthony Davis is significantly better than Kyrie Irving is. Even if you look at it like Paul George has a signature shoe. Anthony Davis doesn't. So when I look at the Celtics, they have the most to offer Anthony Davis from this perspective. If you look at it, Anthony Davis has originally said he wanted to go to the Lakers, right? Whether or not he came out and he completely said, I want to go to the Lakers, we know that was originally the team he wanted to go to. Okay, then he made the dumb comment about, I would go to 29 other teams. Like, how bad can you look, Anthony? You're saying, yeah, I'll play for anybody but you. But nonetheless, I digress. If you look at what the Lakers are offering Anthony Davis, if he goes there, it's not his team. It's LeBron's team. And even if eventually he takes over as the better player, say 2-3 years from now after he would sign a hypothetical extension, LeBron's always going to be the most popular player on the Los Angeles Lakers. That's just the reality of the situation. LeBron is a bigger market item than you are, Anthony Davis. And then also, if you look at it, so one of the other teams that he was interested in possibly signing an extension with would be the New York Knicks. But guess what? If he's going to the Knicks, it's because they get Kevin Durant, right? So if you go to the Knicks again, Anthony, you would be playing second fiddle to Kevin Durant. You wouldn't be the star in terms of the marketability and whatnot. It would be about Kevin Durant. It would be Kevin Durant, who is probably coming off three straight NBA championships, maybe three straight finals MVPs. He's the much more popular player than you. Eventually, maybe you take over as the best player on the team. But again, you would be playing second fiddle in terms of the star power. And it seems like that's why you went out and you hired Rich Paul, so that you could be more marketable. And if you go to one of those two places, you are going to be the secondary star in terms of the box office attraction. If you go to the Celtics, the one thing that they can sell you, and not to say that Danny Ainge would be selling him when he makes the trade, but if you want to keep him long term, you could be the main ticket item. And I get that Kyrie Irving is a very popular player in the NBA and whatnot, but Anthony Davis is the far better player. Anthony Davis could come to Boston and he could be the guy. He would be beloved in this town. Remember, and also the fact that you look at Kevin Garnett, he didn't want to come here. And then Kevin Garnett came here and Kevin Garnett loved playing in Boston. So if you bring success to this team, if you bring success to this organization, it would help you. And even if Anthony Davis, think about it from this angle. Anthony Davis, if he decides he wants to go back on what he said about New Orleans and he wants to take away the trade demand because he's infatuated with playing with Zion Williamson, and everything that was reported last night from multiple NBA insiders, if you will, was that Anthony Davis still, he has that trade demand on the table. If you look at that, if he went back to New Orleans, say he said, I want to play with Zion Williamson, you realize he would be the second most popular player on his own team because he already basically killed his relationship with those fans. Now, they'll take him back, but there's always going to be that scar tissue. And Zion Williamson is the most popular player to enter the NBA since LeBron James. Like, this guy is going to be able to command close to $100 million in a shoe contract. LeBron got 6 years, $87 million his first year in terms of the shoe contract, his first shoe deal. Kevin Durant got $60 million for 6 years. Like, this guy can ask for $100 million. That's how marketable Zion Williamson is right now. So even if Anthony Davis goes back to New Orleans, says, I don't want the trade anymore, he's the second most popular player on his own team. He's the second most popular player on the Lakers. He's the second most popular player on the Knicks if Kevin Durant goes there. If he comes to the Celtics, he will be the most popular player on the team. That's the one thing that the Celtics have that nobody else can offer right now, is he would be the most popular player on the team. And now I'm also coming to the realization with Kyrie Irving. I look at Kyrie Irving, and I'm like most of the people, I cannot believe the way that he acted for the majority of this season. It was annoying, and in the postseason, he did not deliver. We all know over, what is it, the final four games of that series, shot 30% from the field. And what Kyrie Irving was telling us the whole time is, don't worry about us, because I'm going to be here in the postseason. Remember, that was a direct quote from him. They said, why aren't you worried? Because I'm here. And when Kyrie Irving actually showed up to Milwaukee for that series, he played well in game one. Game two, he was not good. Game three, he was not good. Game four, he was not good. Game five, he was not good, right? Kyrie Irving was not the guy that he advertised himself being. He was not that guy. And he was annoying all season long. He was very annoying during the postseason when he said, I should have shot it 30 times. After the series was over, he said, it's not a time to be disappointed. It's like, well, then when do you want to be disappointed? But the reality of the situation is this. You're not going after Anthony Davis if you don't have Kyrie Irving. Okay, you need that other item to be able to sell Anthony Davis to stay with the Celtics long term. Now, I look at Anthony Davis as a top five player in this league when he's at his best. And I understand last year you look at it as, okay, he was upset with the organization. He still averaged 25 and 12 and 2.5 blocks per game. The year before that, he was averaging 28 points per game. Okay, so I understand how much this sucks, but you just have to suck up to Kyrie Irving and get him to stay. That's where I'm at right now, because I'm not willing to say, okay, if you're going to go with the young kids, you're guaranteed to have success long term. I look at Jason Tatum right now. The guy can't dribble. Okay, Jason Tatum cannot dribble. He's a bad ball handler. So if you let Kyrie Irving go, and you're not going after Anthony Davis if Kyrie goes, because if you do, who else is he going to play with, right? Who else is he going to play with if you don't have Kyrie Irving? I look at Jason Tatum right now. You would have to give him up in that deal. And Jason Tatum, so you're saying to me that if you're going to let Kyrie walk, you're going to build around Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Tatum, he can't dribble the basketball right now. He took a bunch of bad twos. You look at him this year, his field goal percentage is down across the board. He went from 47% as a rookie to 43% this year. He went from 45% from three to 37% this year. So all his percentages went down. He was not the same player that he was in the previous season. And I get he had the great postseason run and all that, but are you trusting that this guy can ever be a top five player in the league? Because I know with Anthony Davis, he can be a top five player in the league. And I look around the NBA right now, think about who was just playing in the conference finals tonight. You had Giannis Antetokounmpo against Kawhi Leonard, two guys that are top five in the league. If you look at the Golden State Warriors, you could make an argument that they have two guys in the top five. Without question, one in Kevin Durant, and Steph Curry's always lived in that territory, if you will. He's a two-time MVP. The Blazers, we know that's kind of a weird situation because of the draw they got. Really, it was the Rockets were the Western Conference Finals. Like, this series is over. They have no business do the Portland Trail Blazers trying to compete against the Golden State Warriors. They're not actual contenders, if you will. But now I look at the Eastern Conference going forward. Giannis is going to be in Milwaukee for the foreseeable future. You look at the situation in Philadelphia. Joel Embiid is a piece to build around. I get that he had his issues in the postseason this year, but the guy's 7'3", and when he's right, he's unstoppable, not to mention the fact that they're going to be able to keep Jimmy Butler. He says he's going to get a max contract anywhere he goes. He's going to get 5 years and $190 million from the Sixers. The Sixers have no choice but to give him that money. Unless Jimmy Butler says he wants to go for $50 million less extra dollars, which I can't imagine he would do based on the fact that this guy has had knee injuries throughout his career, you can't let him go if you're the Sixers because he was the best player on your team in the postseason. So you're going to have a Sixers team with Embiid and with Jimmy Butler. You're going to have a Bucks team with Giannis Antetokounmpo. They're going to re-sign Chris Middleton. They have Eric Bledsoe under contract. That team is a juggernaut. They lost back-to-back games once all season long. So that team's there. And also, if Kawhi Leonard decides, okay, I'm going to stay in Toronto, then you got to deal with Kawhi Leonard in the Eastern Conference. And look, he may go to Los Angeles, but nonetheless, you have the Milwaukee Bucks to be concerned about with Giannis. You have Philadelphia with Joel Embiid, and I get you beat them last year, but they were much better this year, and not to mention the fact they didn't have Jimmy Butler a year ago, and they will have him next year. I don't see Jimmy Butler leaving Philadelphia. So if you're the Celtics, you have to get a top five player. That's what it's about. We found out that Kyrie Irving is not that guy. So first of all, you got to sell Kyrie Irving on staying here. And if you have to sacrifice the coach, I'd be willing to sacrifice the coach because we saw this year, clearly Kyrie Irving and Brad Stevens did not work together. And if sacrificing the coach means you get to keep Kyrie Irving, despite the fact that he's annoyed everybody in this town, and that means that Danny Ainge is going to get Anthony Davis, like if that's what this is leading to, if you're signing Kyrie Irving knowing that you have the best deal for Anthony Davis, then I'm willing to do it because in this league, it's a pretty simple league. It's more simple to understand than most other leagues. You need a top five guy. You need a top five guy. Now, there's exceptions like the 04 Pistons, but as we saw this year, the Celtics are not one of those exceptions. They're not. And I don't want to be one of these teams that is building for the future. I thought we already did that with all these trades, and the Celtics have been back in the playoffs and whatnot, but they have not been legitimate title contenders. This year, you thought it was going to be the year. Not legitimate title contenders. So as much as it sucks that you're going to have to kiss up to Kyrie Irving to make sure he stays, I would do it because that means you're the most likely team that can put a package together to get Anthony Davis. And if you get Anthony Davis, despite the fact that his father says he doesn't want to be here, I don't imagine that Anthony Davis is going to leave after being in New Orleans playing in irrelevant basketball games for the better part of 7 years when he comes here and he actually has a legitimate wingman in Kyrie Irving, who Kyrie Irving can now go back to his legitimate role, which is he is Robin, not Batman. He's like the dude that rides in the sidecar of a motorcycle. LeBron was driving the motorcycle. He was in the sidecar. When you bring in Anthony Davis, Anthony Davis can drive the motorcycle. Kyrie Irving can go back to the sidecar. And here's the thing about Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving can still be that star off the court, if you will. He can still claim it's his team. You can tell, Danny Ainge can tell Kyrie, hey, Kyrie, it's your team, but we're going to bring in Anthony so you guys can be a 1-2 punch. And oh, by the way, Kyrie, you have $50 million extra dollars here than anybody else can offer you. $50 million more extra dollars because it would be a real disappointment after making that deal for Kyrie Irving if he leaves because what are you left with? You're left with Jason Tatum. You're left with Jaylen Brown. Yeah, maybe they're nice players in the future. And I understand that they sacrificed this year, but De'Aaron Fox had a better year than Jason Tatum in year two. Donovan Mitchell had a better year than Jason Tatum in year two. Are we so sure that he's what everybody thought he was going to be? The guy cannot dribble. He cannot dribble the basketball, and he refuses to go to the basket. He takes long twos. Whatever he did working out with Kobe Bryant, it clearly did not work out with them. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Norm. He's in Falmouth. What's up, Norm?
Take the call.
This is Norm from the Cave. What's your name?
Brian. What's going on, dude?
Brian, I've been listening for like 45 minutes. I haven't heard your name once, man. You gotta pump yourself, dude. Get yourself out there, man.
Appreciate it, Norm. What's going on?
Hey, Ryan. Great to hear from you, man. I want to talk about Danny Ainge. I want to talk about Celtics.
Yeah, go ahead.
About Danny Ainge. Is building a dynasty. He's not in for 1 year. He got very lucky to be able to trade for Kyrie Irving for Isaiah Thomas because that worked out for him. Sure. He turned Isaiah Thomas into an all-star. But Danny Ainge has always been building into a dynasty. He's been building under the Golden State blueprint. He's got three top 10 picks in his lineup. He's got Smart. He's got Brown. He's got Tatum. And all of a sudden, he's got Kyrie in the mix. That's why I think he's going to do everything he can to keep Kyrie and keep this team together. Because I think this team is a team that's going to win. And if Kyrie decides to leave anyway, he's building for the future. He's got his Golden State. That's my opinion. What do you think?
Now, I appreciate the call, Norm. You can grab his line if you want it at 617-779-7937. I don't think he has anywhere near the Golden State Warriors roster. You have the best shooter in the history of the sport in Steph Curry. You have a top five shooter in the history of the sport in Klay Thompson. And you have Kevin Durant, who is one of the best five scorers in the history of the league. I don't see any of those things on the Celtics right now. I don't see any of those things with the Boston Celtics right now. You don't have one of those things. Jason Tatum, if he's ever 75% of Kevin Durant, you consider that to be a good pick. I don't see any similarities with the Celtics and the Golden State Warriors. Not one. The Warriors are a team that's going for its fourth championship in 5 years. The Celtics are a team that just got bounced in the second round of the playoffs. And guess what? They don't have the alpha male. They don't have the Batman on their team. The Warriors have two of them. They have Steph Curry and they have Kevin Durant. This team is nowhere close to the Golden State Warriors. Danny Ainge, too, by the way, you're saying the Warriors model. The Warriors, they don't have any lottery picks on their team. I mean, they don't have any top five picks on their team, with the exception of Kevin Durant, who is a free agent. Steph Curry went like ninth in the draft. Klay Thompson went like 11th or 12th. And Draymond Green was a second round pick. 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you for the next 40 minutes or so. Let's hit to Craig. He's in New Hampshire. What's up, Craig?
Hey, Brian. Yeah. You know, you lamented pretty much all the points that, you know, educated person of the Celtics would hit. You know, Anthony Davis would be more or less the next KG, you know, second coming, if you will, to head to Boston. Except Kyrie is about 10 times better than any point guard we've had in the last, probably I'd say 20 plus years. The thing is, he's about as big of a head case as Paul Pierce probably was, like, back in the, you know, beginning of 2000s. But with that, you have two top five, I would say, you know, like you said, Anthony Davis in, you know, the best game that he has is a top five player. Kyrie Irving, probably a top three point guard. You put those two together, you know, you just need one more piece and you need role players to put around them to fill in. And all of a sudden you get a pretty dang good squad, you know, to put out there on the court. And you're flirting with number one in the East. Not even flirting, you're pretty much, you know, taking the freaking role of number one in the East. You put the Bucks in the backseat, you know what I mean? And that's about it. I just wanted to redeem myself with my last call. I called about a half hour ago. I wanted to talk about, you know, I'm switching gears here. Sale. Saley's going to be all right, all right? He's got 17 cases last outing, 14 cases of outing before. He's going to be okay. He also had the last out of the World Series. Don't sleep on that. I just want to throw that out there. But listen, the Celtics are going to be okay. They're going to find their niche. And come draft time, Zion might even go back to college. Do not sleep on that. Zion might go back to Duke. I am not.
Whoa, hold
not
on, Craig. I appreciate the call. His line's open if you want to grab it. 617-779-7937. Zion isn't going back to Duke.
You can't.
He's in the draft. He's why would he go back to Duke? What are you talking about? 617-779-7937. Let's get to Craig in Cranston. What's up, Craig?
How you doing, bud?
Good. What do you got?
So you were talking about all the stuff about Anthony Davis, about signature sneakers, and he wouldn't be the most popular player on his team if Zion went there. Do you realize none of that matters when it comes to playing the game of basketball?
Well, why did he hire Rich Paul then?
Well, listen, did Kevin Garnett have a signature shoe?
Yeah, he did.
Kevin Garnett had a signature sneaker.
Yeah, he had an Adidas shoe.
All right, my fault. But that matters. He wouldn't be the most popular player on his team.
No, like, if he went to New Orleans, he would not be the most popular player. You see what he just did to that fan base? He just told them he would play for 29 other teams.
And they didn't play him in the fourth quarter. You said he averaged 25 points a game, and he for his career averages 28. He is a great player.
No disputing that.
I just listened to you. Brian, listen. I just listened to you over the last 10 minutes,
yeah.
15 minutes.
mention 9 guys in the top 5. Do you understand? And compare Anthony Davis to Kevin Durant. Anthony Davis has never had a player like Russell Westbrook running by his side.
So you think Anthony Davis is better than Kevin Durant?
He plays in the Western Conference, right?
Yeah, so did Durant.
And Durant had Russell Westbrook. Who was Anthony Davis's best player running with him?
I'm not disputing the fact that the guy is not at a great roster, but I'm not going to argue that Anthony Davis is a better player than Kevin Durant right now. Kevin Durant has won back-to-back finals MVPs. He's won a regular season MVP. He won 4 straight scoring titles. He's not Anthony Davis is a great player, but he's not better than Kevin Durant.
I'm not saying he's better than Kevin Durant, but what I'm saying, if you took Kevin Durant off of the Golden State Warriors and you put Anthony Davis there, he's not doing the same exact thing? Seriously.
Maybe.
They won 72 games the year before Durant even went there.
Yeah.
And multiple titles.
You
put Anthony Davis on there. I'm not saying Anthony Davis
wouldn't be good on the Warriors. I'm not making that argument. All I'm saying is that if Anthony Davis went to the Knicks, he would be the second most popular player on the team if Durant goes there next year. That's the reality of the situation. He would be. Durant is a more marketable superstar. And I'm saying the difference
Those guys control their fate, though. Those guys control. So, like, what I'm
how do they control their fate? How does he control if he's more marketable than Durant?
You're saying the Celtics should keep Kyrie Irving.
Yes.
It's not up to them anymore.
I'm not arguing that. It's Kyrie's choice, but I'm saying the Celtics should keep him.
Durant is also going to leave.
I never said Durant wasn't leaving. What?
Talked about. They're both going to the Knicks, right?
So then maybe.
The Knicks. So what does it even matter? So you thought that the Knicks are all of a sudden going to trade that pick for Anthony Davis when the plan is for Irving and Durant to go to the Knicks?
Yeah, they would definitely. If they had the number one pick and Durant comes to town and says, hey, James Dolan, you haven't had a successful team in ages, trade the number one pick for Zion Williamson, James Dolan would do it to please Kevin Durant. That's how the league works.
If Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving both went to the same team in the Eastern Conference, they're going to the finals in the Eastern Conference. LeBron James did it multiple times with terrible teams.
Okay, but why wouldn't they want an extra piece? Why wouldn't they want Anthony Davis? We've already heard that Kyrie wants to play with him.
Because you just told me that Zion Williamson is the most popular player on the planet.
No, I said that Zion Williamson would be a more popular player than Anthony Davis based on the way he treated the fans in New Orleans on his own team. Yeah. That's what I said.
Yeah. And then, so what I'm telling you is the Knicks wanted him because if those guys don't end up going there, they need Zion Williamson for popularity. But if both of those guys go there, why would you need to trade that Zion Williamson for Anthony Davis, not knowing if he's going to sign there anyways?
I appreciate the call, Craig. But to put you over the top, that's why they would want Anthony Davis, because Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant would say, oh, we don't want to play with a rookie. We want to play with Anthony Davis, who's a proven player in the NBA, who's an all-NBA performer. That's what they would say. They would want Anthony Davis. All right, a lot more to get into. We continue to talk about the Celtics. What do you make so far of their offseason? And what do you make of the Terry Rozier comments? We'll get to that. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEEI.
Let's go back to the quote. What exactly is it that you did sacrifice, in your words?
I sacrificed, you know, obviously my talent, I think, the most. You know, me being out there and giving my full style of play, how I play, how Terry Rozier play, I feel like I couldn't be that person this year.
And why do you feel you couldn't be that person?
You know, just obviously in the shadow of some guys, I feel like a lot of the ball was in either Kyrie or Gordon Hayward's hand most of the time. So I feel like, you know, either Terry Rozier was just in the corner or...
All right, that's Terry Rozier on ESPN First Take yesterday. My God. Terry Rozier, how many times is he going to refer to himself in the third person? I feel like Terry Rozier was in the corner. I feel like Brian Barrett's talking right now. 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you for the next half hour or so. Unbelievable Terry Rozier. So first of all, he had those comments about how much he sacrificed. He sacrificed the most on the team. Remember, he said that right after they lost to the Milwaukee Bucks. I don't know who he got advice from to go on these shows and say this stuff. He just threw everybody under the bus on the team. And basically what Terry Rozier was trying to do, and maybe it was his representatives were telling him this is a good idea to do this. He had a down year, right? He did not play well, and he did not produce at a high level whatsoever. It's not even like he was efficient. He was an inefficient player this year. Okay, he was an inefficient player. When he came off the bench, it's like he thought that he had to score every time he touched the ball. So Terry Rozier, I don't know who gave him this advice, that he thought it would be a good idea to go on national television and basically just bash the organization. Now, he talks about the fact that he had the ball less than Gordon Hayward did. Okay, now this is from The Ringer, tweeted this out. Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer. So Terry Rozier, in terms of time of possession per game, Terry Rozier, 3.7 minutes of having the ball in his hands. Gordon Hayward, 2 minutes. So he had the ball significantly more than Gordon. Touches per game, 51.9 for Terry, 45.5 for Gordon Hayward. Touches this season for the total season. Kyrie was first on the team. Terry was second. Hayward was seventh. So I don't know what he's talking about that he sacrificed for Gordon Hayward. If anybody sacrificed for Gordon Hayward, it was Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown's the guy that actually made sacrifices for Gordon Hayward. It wasn't Terry Rozier. And what did Terry Rozier think was going to happen? Did he think like him and Kyrie Irving were in like a competition for the point guard position? Kyrie Irving's averaging 25 points per game. I'm sorry, Terry. You're not on that level. And the other thing I look at Terry Rozier, he got all this publicity last year in the postseason. If you really go back to that postseason, it was completely overrated. He averaged 16 a game. I get that. But he was shot 40% from the field, and he shot 34% from three. Not to mention the fact that in that Game 7, a must-win Game 7, of course, which is kind of redundant or kind of obvious, but he was 2 of 14 from the field with 4 points. He was 0 of 10. From three-point territory. So Terry Rozier, he got that nickname, Scary Terry, during the postseason last year, and he believed in it more than anybody else. He believed he was like this elite point guard in the NBA, and the reality of what Terry Rozier was this year in the league, he was an average-level backup point guard. That's all he was. So I don't know if Terry thinks that by going on ESPN and saying, look, it's not me, it's the way they used me this year, he thinks that's going to get him a big contract in restricted free agency. Like, he thinks there is this big market for Terry Rozier out there. The reality is there just isn't. You didn't have a great season, Terry. That's on you. You didn't shoot the basketball well. That's, like, supposed to be your strength. Really, if you look at it offensively, we know he's not a good passer. He averaged less than 3 assists per game. Gordon Hayward averaged 3.5. As a point guard, he averaged less than 3 assists a game. He played plenty of minutes. Played, what, 23 minutes per game. So he's not a good passer. He's not a willing passer. The best thing he does offensively is shoot the three. Like, he's a terrible finisher at the basket. Everybody notices that. He's a terrible finisher at the rim. So he shoots the three at 38% last year. This year, he shot it at 35%. So he wasn't even a good three-point shooter this year. So I'm trying to figure out what Terry Rozier did that was at a high level this year on the basketball court, because quite frankly, I didn't see any of that. And whenever he's on the court, he seems like every time he gets the basketball, he needs to shoot it up. But he just went on national television and made an ass of himself. Did anybody say like, oh yeah, Terry, a good job by you, Terry, getting out there and saying that stuff. It was a great job by you. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Bob. He's in Needham. What's up, Bob?
Yeah, Brian, you obviously heard the term shooting way out of town.
Yeah.
He obviously did that yesterday. He had a machine gun, apparently. I was calling the bigger point. Everyone's talking. Does anyone realize that the Western and the Eastern Conference Finals are going on right now, and nobody's really even talking about the fact that the teams are on the floor? All they're talking about is who's going where are they going, who's going, who's leaving. I don't understand how this happened. People used to be interested in the actual game on the floor. Now all it is a soap opera about who's leaving who, where they're going to go, how they're going to go. Anthony Davis, they just got the number one pick in the draft, and he still wants out. I mean, so how could any small market team, there's at least 20 teams in the league that nobody wants to play for. You want me to run down the list, Detroit, Orlando, you can go down the list. Nobody even wants to go there. So how can anyone get good? You get a superstar like Giannis, a transcendental player. And how do you know he's going to stay? So how's this league going to succeed if they all want to go to L.A. or New York? That's it, apparently. They all want to brand themselves, and they all want to go somewhere else. When they're not at where they are, they all want to go somewhere else.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point, Bob, and you're right. It is weird that you have the NBA playoffs going on, and this has been going on for a couple of years now, where we're talking more about where the guys could end up, like the Kevin Durants of the world, even Kawhi Leonard. We're talking about their impending free agencies more so than the game.
Well, think about Golden State, by the way.
Yeah.
They literally, miraculously, they got Curry was 7 overall.
Yep.
And they got Draymond in the second, and they got, I forget, Clay was like in the mid-range.
Yeah, it's like 11 or something around there, Bob, somewhere in that.
They got three miracle picks that they just lucked into that started this run. And if they didn't get that, who the hell, for 30 years, Golden State was irrelevant.
Yeah. Because,
you know, it just, so how does this league keep, if every single superstar, once they get good, like AD or whoever it is, they all want to leave whatever small team they're on. You know, they none of them want to play in Orlando. None of them want to play in Detroit. None of them want to play in Minnesota. None of them want to play in Phoenix. You think some of them would want to be in one more city? When's the last Miami signing? They've had, you know, free agent signing. They don't even want to go to Miami. I don't know why, but they don't. It's crazy. And Boston is not a destination city for any of these people.
No, you're right, Bob. You can grab his line if you'd like. It's 617-779-7937. It's an interesting point. We talk more about impending free agency in the NBA than we talk about the actual games. That was the one refreshing part about the Portland-Denver series. Like, nobody's going to be a free agent soon, so it was just the games. With the Celtics, that was the whole storyline. With Kyrie Irving, there was people reading his body language. Oh, he's not happy. Look at the way he's playing. He's not happy. And he clearly did not look happy. And the body language on Kyrie Irving at the end of the series was brutal. I mean, when he's just sitting on the end of the bench. And, I mean, really, that game five, Kyrie Irving, that was horrible. What was he, 6 of 21? 6 of 21 from the field. He took a 3 right in front of Giannis' face. It's like, Kyrie, you're not going to hit a 3 over Giannis. That was embarrassing by Kyrie Irving. And the fact that Kyrie Irving this whole season was selling us on the fact that, hey, once the postseason comes, I'll be ready to go. Don't worry about the postseason because I'm here. I just want to know with Kyrie Irving, what is actually going to make that guy happy? That's what I want to know. I'm serious. What is going to make him happy? Because this is what we know. He was unhappy in Cleveland, right? Because Kyrie Irving did not want to play with LeBron James anymore. That was the thing. He wanted his own team. So he comes to Boston. They basically roll out the red carpet for the guy. He has his own team with a lot of really good young players. When you're talking about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, you have a really good veteran player in Al Horford that does all the dirty work, right? So you have a bunch of good players around you. And he's unhappy in Boston with the team. After just months ago, he said he'll be here as long as you'll have me. And now apparently he's contemplating joining up with Kevin Durant in New York. So if he goes to New York and plays with Kevin Durant, he would look like a complete hypocrite. Because what he was saying is he wanted to get away from LeBron so he could do his own thing. He could be the alpha male. He could be the alpha and the omega. He could be the Batman on his team. And what he would be admitting to if he joins Kevin Durant is he'd be saying, I can't be the Batman on a championship-level team. I have to go team up with Kevin Durant in New York. So first it was he wanted to get away from LeBron. He wanted his own team. So now what is the thing that he's upset about here in Boston? What does he want in New York? He wants to play with his friend again? Does he just want to be in New York City? I just don't understand what it is that Kyrie Irving ultimately wants. And I don't understand why this whole year was basically like a whole year of suffering for Kyrie Irving. Like, what was so bad about this? You're making, what, close to $30 million. You're playing for an historic franchise. You have good players around you. They've built the entire organization around you. They stick up for you when you say stupid things to the media. Danny Ainge sticks up for you all the time. I don't understand what's going to make Kyrie Irving happy. I really have no idea. I really have no idea whatsoever what's going to make Kyrie Irving happy. And is Kyrie Irving really going to be willing to skip out on $50 million extra dollars to go play for New York? Is that what he's thinking right now? I don't know. I'm just baffled by Kyrie Irving's logic with all the things he says. It's just unbelievable. And the fact that he said after they lost that game five, it's not disappointing. Well, Kyrie Irving, tell me when you're going to be disappointed. You just got knocked out of the postseason. What is disappointing? I just don't understand what makes this guy tick. All right, a lot more to get into. Brian Barrett with you for the next 20 minutes or so. We will get into the Bruins as well, as that series is basically over. Any concerns with the Bruins going forward? Because this series is over. What about when you get to the Stanley Cup Finals? Any concern with this team right now? Brian Barrett with you right here on WEEI. All right, Brian Barrett with you till the top of the hour. One real quick thing on the Celtics before I get to the Bruins. You know what Giannis said before the series against the Raptors? Against Boston, you can go down 1-0 and still be fine. But against Toronto, it's hard to be in the spot when you lose the first game at your home. That's what Giannis said about the Celtics. So if it couldn't get any worse for the Celtics in terms of their loss to the Bucks and the way the season played out, you got a player basically saying, yeah, the Celtics weren't tough whatsoever. We weren't even worried about them. The Bucks were not worried about the Celtics. Anyway, in this series with the Hurricanes, Justin Williams, can you believe that guy's the captain of the team? And I get that he won a cup with the Kings and all that. But what an idiot. Last night, the Bruins win that game 2-1. Justin Williams took, what, three penalties in the first period? They're all dumb. One of them, he just takes away Torrey Krug's stick. Like, could that guy be any more dumber? That's their captain. That is their captain right now. And the biggest question you have with the Bruins right now, I heard Dale and Keith talking about this earlier today, is are they going to have too much time off between now and the NHL wants to start the Stanley Cup Finals on Memorial Day, which is the 27th? Like, that's the biggest issue for the Bruins right now. Will Tuukka get rusty because he's going to have all these days off? Like, that's the biggest question with the Bruins right now, because the Hurricanes are an absolute joke. Okay, after that first period yesterday where they came up with nothing, you knew they were done. This series is going to be over tomorrow night. The Hurricanes are not coming back in this series, first of all, so they're not going to win tomorrow night. The Bruins will end them tomorrow. It's amazing to me that it got easier every round for the Bruins. We were complaining so long about the playoff format in the NHL, and it actually worked out perfect for the Bruins. Let's get to Jack. He's in Providence. What's up, Jack?
Hi, Brian. How you doing?
Good. What do you got, man?
Good. I just want to say, I might lose you. I'm low on battery power. But as far as the Bruins go, I really don't want to hear any excuses, because, first of all, I'm not the biggest Rask fan that you'll ever find. I mean, I haven't liked this guy since day one when he took the starting job over. But to his credit, he's the best I've ever seen him play.
Yeah.
But he's in a position now where the Bruins can really seal the deal here. I mean, you look at San Jose out west. Let's just say hypothetically they get there. They're heading towards another grueling seven-game series out there. So, I mean, San Jose is going to be kind of worn down. The Bruins, to me, have been an elite team all year. And to me, the only thing that's going to stop this team is really Rask. I mean, if he can play to the way he has been, the level he has been, I don't see them being beat.
So, Jack, let me ask – Jack, hold on a second. Let me ask you a question about Tuukka. So, are you saying you're not willing to trust Tuukka until this run is essentially over? Like, he's got to go all the way through. You can't trust him now, despite the fact that, really, if you look at it, he should be the favorite to win the Conn Smythe. You still don't trust him.
Hey, Brian, let me ask you a question. What's Tuukka's claim to fame with the Bruins? He choked up a 3-0 series lead to Philly, which in that game four – they were up 3-0 in that game.
Yeah,
they had a 2-1 series lead in the Cup Finals against the Blackhawks, and in Game Four when they were up 2-1 in that series, the Bruins played great. They got 5 goals in that game against Crawford, and Tuukka played like a sieve. Chicago beat them 6-5. Yeah, Tuukka's gonna seal the deal to me to get all the demons off his back. If he comes up short, what's his claim to fame in Boston?
Yeah, I know. If he comes up short, he's not going to have one. He's going to have to finish the job, right? I mean, but Jack, you can't.
I mean, the guy, I mean, I have to interrupt you, but, you know, and I'm running low on battery power. But this
guy,
we
heard about the battery.
He's paid top dollar in the NHL. He's never done jack to earn that money. So let's be fair about it. I love the Bruins. They're my favorite team in New England by a mile. I've always been a Bruins fan. But if you don't seal the deal here, or if he lost a real heartbreaking 7-game series, I can maybe give him a pass there. But it's time for him to win, because they have a great team in front of them.
No, they certainly do, and I appreciate the call, Jack. There's no doubt about that. I mean, the Bruins, I feel like we almost underrated them this year, because everything was pointing towards the Death Star, which was the Tampa Bay Lightning, or because of the fact that they were so great, they tied the record for the most wins in the history of a season. So everything was pointing to how did the Bruins beat the Tampa Bay Lightning, and we forgot to acknowledge the fact that the Bruins had the second best record in the Eastern Conference. They had that miraculous point streak. They were an unbelievable team, and it was all pointing towards the Lightning, and now the Lightning aren't there, and now you're realizing, yes, the Bruins were that good. They were that damn good. Look what they did to Columbus. Look what they're doing to Carolina. Like, Carolina has no chance in the series whatsoever. 6-2, 5-2, and I guess last night was competitive because of the fact that it was in Carolina, but that team is now done. Tuukka, though, I will say this. At what point do you actually start to appreciate him? There's a lot of guys that are like Jack. They're just never going to appreciate Tuukka until he actually just seals the deal and wins the cup. It's almost similar to like the David Price situation. He had to actually go out and do it, right? The Astros game wasn't good enough for you. He had to do it against the Dodgers too. That's what you're looking at with Tuukka. That's how people in this town feel about Tuukka. He has to win this series, despite the fact he's been the best goalie in the postseason. He's got to win this series, and then he's got to seal it in the Stanley Cup Finals. And then maybe people will not hate Tuukka Rask anymore. That's just the reality of the situation. Thanks to Joe Cortez for producing tonight. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe and be well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.